you. Thanks for organizing today's shiur. And I hope we'll meet on a regular basis on a Sunday morning. Cover sugyas and shas, major sugyas. We'll go at a slow pace and we'll really be makif some of the sodas of shas. Learn how to learn with a focus on lumdas. We're going to be studying Momen Amutal B'Safeg, but just as an introduction, the Rosh at the beginning of Bava Metzia, without asking the question, answers the question, how is it that Shnayim Ochsim B'Talis, which is a case of Metzia, each one is Zochen half the Talis, why isn't there a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? What's the Chetim, so the Rosh asks, that each one has a right to keep the Talis being Zochen ben Hefke? So the Rosh says, Motza b'makom shehishal motza. He found it in a place where he can keep it. Find his keepers, as we say. Kegon be'ir shehuba goyim. So the Rosh refers to the sugi of Rov. In Bava Metzia, the second perek, we find this is a central concept that ir shehuba akum. We apply the principle of kol deparish meruba parish. We assume that the object was dropped by a goy, and there's no chiyuv hashavas aveda, and he can keep it. Let's go back to the sugya of rov. There's a very famous fundamental chakira in the Achronim regarding rov and how it operates and when it could apply. The Gemara, time after time throughout Shas, speaks about Tesha Chanuyos. There are 9 stores that sell kosher meat, and 1 store that sells trefa meat in town, and we assume called the parish, Miruba Parish. This piece of meat that I find came from the Rov. The question is, and this generated quite a debate amongst the Achronim, how do I structure that Rov? Do I count Rov Chanuyos? Do I look at the fact that there are a majority of stores, of butchers, selling kosher meat? Or Rov Basar? Does it depend upon the volume of meat that's being produced, so to speak, in each butcher shop? You may have 1 butcher shop that produces more meat than the other 9 combined. The issue comes to the fore in a Mishnah at the end of the first Perek Ksubis on Daf Yudalad Amud Beis. There was a Maisa, Betinokos, Shiyar Delamayim, and the Mishnah wants to know if Nensa, whether she can marry a Kohen. It depends who the Boel was. We don't know who the Boel is, we don't know his identity. So in this case of Maisa Ones, the question is, can a Kohen marry this woman? If the Ma'anes was a Goy, then he passes over with his Biyat to Kahuna. If he was a Jew, then she still remains Kshera to Kahuna. So the Mishnah paskins that it depends on Rov Ha'ir. If the majority of the men in the city are Ksherim, are Jews, then Masiyan Osola Kahuna. So here the Rashash raises the following question. Supposing there were 51 Ksherim in the city, and one of those Ksherim is a Kohen. I'll explain to you why that's relevant in a minute. The other 50, and let's say 49, are Goyim, are Poslim Lekuhuna. Now, if you take out one of the Ksherim from this situation, then you're left with 50-50. You're left with a real Suffolk. But what happens if one of the individuals, the one who tips the scale, he himself is a Kohen, and he knows that he wasn't the Boel. So when he looks at the statistical probability, he's looking at a situation of 50-50. He's the tiebreaker, but he himself knows that he wasn't the Boel. So as far as he's concerned, it's Mamash and Suffolk. There's no Rov. So how do we look at this situation? Do we look at the Rov, and we say, call the parish, move a parish? Rov is a set standard kavua situation. It doesn't matter what the individual knows or doesn't know, or is it statistical probability? And simply from a statistical probability perspective, this individual, as he looks out at the potential bolim in the city and he removes himself from the suffix, he sees meftzal meftzah. and therefore he cannot marry her. This is relevant to the case that I mentioned before of Rov Basar, or even if not Rov Basar, supposing the kosher butcher shops produce a certain kind of shape of meat. They cut it in a certain way. Let's say they cut it into triangles, whereas the tray for meat is usually in a circle form, for whatever reason. And then you find something that's a circle, even if the Rov Chanayos, and even if the Rov Basar in the ear is kosher, but you found a round piece of meat. And then you can go on and on and on. Suppose you find it on Tuesday, and Tuesday is the market day for non-Jewish butchers. So even though they're in the minority, that's their market day, and there's a greater volume on that day. And you can really, in any situation, get deep, deep into the statistical probabilities, introducing factor upon factor, until you finally come to the conclusion that you don't know whether there's a rove over there. That's if you look at Rove as a statistical probability, and you have to take into consideration all the factors and really see what you're looking at based on statistics. However, there's another way of looking at Rove, and that's Rove Kavua. You know, it's a Ruba de Issa Kamon. You look at the situation of the Chanuyos, and you count them up, and you apply Kol Deparish Ruba Parish. You can call it Xeris HaKosu, but it's a power of Rove. It's an inherent halacha. It's got a logic of its own. It's not the human logic. And whenever Rove applies, the Torah says, Achirav Lahatos. We rely on Rove, and that's the end of the story. So let's go full swing back to the Rush. The Rush at the beginning of Bava Metzi, again, he's looking for a scenario in which the individual finds this beged in the street. He's allowed to keep it for himself. In this case, two people picked it up at the same time. The Gemara here at Daf Gimel says Hachaluki Cholios Emes. It could very well be that Bahani Adodi Behua. They both picked it up at the same time, and therefore they were both Zochem and a Hefker. Says the Rosh, how are they Zochem and a Hefker? Because it's an Ir Sheruba Akel. Now, about 100 years ago or so, there was a gadol called Rav Aizel Acharif. In his piece here at the beginning of Bava Metzia, he raises a powerful kasha stira on the against the Rush. The Gemara later on Daf Ches, has a very fascinating sugya called Magbia Metzia L'Chavero. This sugya revolves around the famous principle in Shas of Zochem L'Yodim Shlo B'Fonov. If you appoint me as a shliach, clearly I'm your shlichus, and the Gemara has sources for shlichus. What about Zechia? The Gemara has sources for Zechia, but they only apply in cases where Zochen li'adam, it's a schus for me to pick up something on your behalf, but no one else loses by it. Supposing there's someone else who's vying for the same object, the same goal, and if I'm Zoch on behalf of Reuven, then Shimon stands to lose. That's called b'makom shechav l'acherim. And the classical example is Mitzia. Everybody has a right to shock to get this Mitzia and pick it up. If I pick it up on your behalf, so on the one hand, that's great for you, because Zochem L'Yodim Shlo B'Fonov. But on the other hand, it's Chav L'Acherim. So the Gemara wants to analyze this question about Zochem L'Yodim V'Akush Chav L'Acherim from the perspective of our Mishnah of Shnai Mochs and Betalas. The law of Hagbah requires that you pick up the entire Talas, that the Talas is lifted up completely off the floor as a result of your Maisa. That Maisa makes it a Maisa Kinyan Agbah, and you are Zocha in this Mitzvah. However, if we assume, like the Gemara does in Daf Gimel, Achaluki Cholios Emes, that we both picked it up simultaneously, then in effect neither one of the Ochzin have single-handedly lifted the Talis off the floor, and therefore neither one of them has a Hagbah for a Kenyan. So what does it mean we split it up because we believe they are both Kona? If you're telling me they both picked it up simultaneously, then it's impossible for any one of them to have done a Hagbah, unless we introduce the concept of Zechiyah, of Zochem L'Yodim Shlo B'Fonov. That it makes sense for Reuven to have picked it up not only on behalf of himself, but also on behalf of Shimon, because if he's not operating in cahoots with Shimon, because he wants it all for himself, he'll end up with nothing. So it's in his best interest to pick up the talis not only on his own behalf, but on behalf of Shimon. So you have here a corporation, so to speak, a corroboration of both Reuven and Shimon as partners, as shutfim, lifting up the talis. that Ba works on behalf of both of them through the principle of Zachem Yodim Shal Befonov. But yet it's Chav L'Acherim because somebody else might come along and he wants to get his shot at the Talis, and we're excluding him, bumping him off, because we were Zocha. So let's say I'm picking up the Talis, and I pick it up on your behalf, not only on my behalf, then that's the exclusion of Yenim, of somebody else who might come along and want to pick it up. So the Gemara proves from this Mishnah that Zochin operates even b'makom shechav l'achirim. So Rabbi Eisel Acharif asked the following question. According to the Rosh, Ab Mishnah is a case of ir sheruba akum. That means that statistically, the chance that someone else will come along and want to get a shot at this talis, chances are, called the parish meruba parish, if it's an ir sheruba goyim, that he was a goy, that he'll be a goy. So there's no chav l'achirim in this case. Chav l'achirim only operates when I presume, have reason to believe, that so-and-so has a shot at it, and I'm excluding him through Zochin Le'olam Shel B'fanav. But here, if the so-and-so, based on the Rov Goyim, is going to be a guy, then it's not Chav L'Acherim. And based on this kasha, Rabbi Eisel Acharif concludes beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Rosh could not possibly mean that it's an Ir Sheruba Goyim, and that somehow we have to reinterpret the words of the Rosh. As challenging as that may be, we have to find a different shot in the Rosh, because it's absolute, unquestionable, based on the Gemara and its conclusion on Daf Ches, that Zochin works even by Chav L'Acherim in our Mishnah, that we're not talking about an Ir Sheruba Akum, that would not be Chav L'Acherim. So Rabbi Eisel Acharif comes up, based on his analysis, with a brilliant reinterpretation of the Rosh, and he says, Ir Sheruba Goyim, She'eino Chayv L'Hachver, is what he means is that Rov Mamon Ha'ir belongs to the Goyim. That means that majority of the population is Jewish. But unfortunately, the Jews live more in the poverty zone. They're in the shtetl there. The rich people are the mafioso guys that are making lots and lots of money. They have the nice, shiny $500 suits, and that's what they're wearing. The Jews are wearing hand-me-downs from Grandpa. So when you find a beged, what the Rosh is saying, you have a right to keep it because you assume it fell from a guy, not because the majority of the population of the city is made up of non-Jews. On the contrary, most of the people in the city are Jewish. But the statistical probability is that because the goyim have Rov Mamon, they would have dropped this beged, and therefore we assume that the beged belongs to a guy. In the case of an Avedis guy, you're allowed to keep it. This would solve Ravitzler's problem, because who is the other potential finder who's getting bumped off if Reuven and Shimon now pick up the talis together? Since we go Basarov, we have every right to assume that the other person who will come along and want to get his shot at this talis is a Jew, because it's really an Ir Sheruba Yisrael. However, as far as picking it up and being potter from the Mitzvah Shavas Aveda, this is an Ir Sheruba Akum. Not because the majority of the population is Goyim, that we can't say, because otherwise we don't have a situation of Chav L'Acherim, but rather simply because most of the Mammon in the city belongs to the Goyim. They're the richer element in the city, even though they're the minority in the population. So as far as the Din of Shavas Aveda is concerned, I can keep it because I assume there's no Chovas HaShava, there's no Mitzvah Shava, because I assume that Rov Mammon tells me that this came from a Goyim. However, as far as Chav L'Acherim is concerned, if I ask myself the question, who is the potential Motze that might come along and find this, and he wants to be Zocha in it, and I'm bumping him off because I'm being Zocha on your behalf through Zocha and the other Shlomo Befanov, that person, that anonymous faceless person, is probably a Jew. Because the determining factor there is Rov Ha'ir, is the majority of the population of the city. This is how Rabbi Eisela explains the Rosh. And if we read the Rosh the way he would like us to read it, that it's an Ir Sheruba Mammon Akum, the Mammon is in the Rov as far as the Goyim are concerned, not the population of the human beings, but rather the Mammon, then we have to be Machria in the original Chakira the Achrona that I mentioned at the outset. As far as Kol Deparish is concerned, do we go Basarov Chanuyos, or do we go Basarov Basar? In other words, what is Rov? Do we look at some static, stationary object, like the Chanus, and we count up one Chanus after the other, one butcher shop after the other, and that generates the Rov, and we apply Kol Deparish? Or do we use statistical probability, statistical theory? We look at the piece and we say, what are the chances it came from a kosher butcher shop or a non-kosher butcher shop? And the answer is that that probably depends upon rov basar, the volume of meat that's being produced in each case. So it's exactly parallel, identical to our understanding of the Rosh based on Rabbi Yitzchak Harif, meaning that instead of looking at the people in the city, we look at the moment in the city. The moment is parallel to the basar. In the case of the chanuyos, the people are parallel to the chanuyos. You have rov bnei adam, rov of the year are Jews, but rov of the mammon belongs to the goyim, comes from the goyim. It's exactly parallel to the case of rov chanuyos and rov basar. So if this be the case, then getting back to the suffix that we mentioned, which the Achron of the Rashash talks about at great length in Ksuvas, if Rove is a statistical probability and you are the 51st guy, the potential Boel, and you know you're a kosher, and you have to remove yourself from the Rove based on your statistical analysis of the situation, for in your mind, you know the statistical, we have a Metzal Metz, a real suffix here, and if we have to go with Chumrah, because Rove is statistical, and this will have tremendous implications throughout Shas and for the poskim in terms of how to structure a Rove and how to operate with Rove. Because then you're converting Rove from some sort of a Haloshem Rove, which is based on the Kavua, the objects that we can point to and look at, into a statistical Rove, and then you have to factor in, as we said at the outset, so many different issues and factors, and it becomes extremely complicated. If Yitzhak Hashem, Blineda, next time we get together, we'll talk about the sugya of Mamon Amutal B'Safek. When do we say Yachloku? When do we say Kolam Dilam Govar? When do we say Yehimunach Hachiyo V'Liyo? Good, thanks. Okay, it's Lechem HaKol Tov?
Yeah,
okay, Drishat Shalom.
Okay.